One Life Radio is brought to you by our sponsors. Great companies like Sun Warrior Plant-Based Protein. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Crazy Water, the only mineral water bottled in Texas. Enviromedica, makers of Terra Flora. A novel broad-spectrum symbiotic formulated with a combination of spore-form probiotics and advanced food-based ancient prebiotics. Paleo Magazine, the well-being journal, the International Society of Sports Nutrition. Be sure to go to our Thorne Research Dispensary on our website for 20% off and free shipping. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio.
The content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition.
Baby, do you want to go higher? Baby, you're in the right place. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray, Aviana Barrientos, Navi Mendoza, and DeJuan Bennett. So good to have you in studio, DeJuan. It's always great to have you in studio. So many people just love your personality.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's a blessing to be here. I had to realize, like, I still had my jacket on, like I was outside. I had to relax a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
There
is something about having a coat on that, you know, makes is good and bad. Official. It can make you really cuddly, and then it can make you really uncomfortable,
you feel
too.
A little confined at times, like you can't break free.
Yeah. No, I know. I have a very long coat on today. Long coat and a short dress.
Long coat, short dress, huh?
I had a sweater. It's not too chilly today, you know?
Yeah. No, I know. It's like, yeah. It's raining, but it's like 64 here in Dallas, for those of you listening in California.
It's not actually that cold. It's okay temperature. It just looks ugly outside.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It is. It's just kind of a yucky day. I baked this morning. I baked my Bernie bars.
Yes.
And for some reason, I was thinking Jill Lane was going to be here to help me pick apart the ingredients, but... You know, I there's something about baking. Since you're the shrink, DeJuan, what is it about baking that feels so right?
I think that sometimes the rush that you get when you're creating something is the same as like when you're creating art or music or dance. It's the fact that you're creating something, the rush that you get, whether it's your serotonin because you're baking to serve other people, so you're baking to help people, or it's the dopamine that, you know, people are enjoying something that you create and they're telling you, good job, this feels good. But there's something about creativity that gives our brain a sense of energy that makes us naturally feel good.
Yeah. Well, today is Teatless Tuesday.
Teatless Tuesday, huh?
Okay. I saw you hashtag that this morning.
Well, you know, I've been joking about it for years, so I thought, you know what, I'm going to kick off a Teatless Tuesday campaign. Right. Teatless meaning no dairy, no teats involved.
No dairy, huh? All right.
No dairy.
No teats.
No teats. And so, yeah, go ahead. Feel free to hashtag it if you like. But, yeah, I thought it was pretty funny. So I made my Bernie bars. So it's half a cup of oatmeal for every egg. And I only use pasture-raised local eggs so that I know there's no abuse connected to it. And so that's the base. Mm-hmm. And then this morning, have you guys seen that they have liquid dates now? So you can sweeten food with, like, yeah, this,
wow.
It's almost like maple syrup. But it's made out of dates.
Yum.
I saw it at Whole Foods and it's called Just Dates.
I love dates.
Just Dates, huh?
So I used a tablespoon of that. And then I remember Autumn Warren Connolly telling me how much iron naturally is in blackstrap molasses. Mm-hmm. Because these Bernie bars only have the brown sugar sprinkled on top. There's no sugar in them. So I used monk fruit and blackstrap molasses with Just Dates. And so they're really good. And then what else did I use? I used Sun Warrior protein powder and Miyoko's, which is basically a fake butter.
Fake butter, yes.
But you can't tell. And it's made with real good ingredients. It's made.
You love that Miyoko's. You're always raving about it.
Well, I use it. It's the bomb. Because if you're like me, I love butter, okay? I'm never getting over it. Okay. I have to have a good butter replacement on Teatless Tuesday. especially.
What is it made with?
Well, it's made, I'm going to read it. I brought it in. Organic coconut oil, because I thought Joe was going to be here. I'm confused. filtered water, organic sunflower oil, which is important that it's not palm oil, because there's so much destruction, you know, down in the, I guess, is it the Amazon?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
With the palm oil, right? Yeah. Okay, so you don't have any of that going on, and it's got organic. It's all organic. Organic cashews and sea salt and some cultures, because it's cultured like the European butter, mm-hmm. you know, that so many people love, that cultured kind of sour taste. But yeah, and it's all organic, but it melts and it works just like butter.
Well, I can attest your Bernie bars are great.
Take a test today, because I knocked the ball out of the park today.
We're going to take a test.
I put them in little cups, and so that and I also cooked them for 5 minutes less, and so I think they're extra moist. And then I just sprinkled. Aren't they yummy?
Yeah.
They're like a piece of pumpkin pie, aren't they, almost?
Yeah. We're live on air eating and chewing, and it's great.
And it's delicious. Well, I wish you were here.
Yeah. And so they're high protein, and they're so this is another little thing that I've started. I'm actually trademarking it, Smegan, because they're somewhere in the middle between PETA. They're somewhere in the middle between paleo and mm-hmm. keto and vegan, so they're Smegan. They're Smegan Bernie bars. Right, because because paleo, they don't eat dairy.
Okay.
Keto is high fat, low protein, and of course vegan is no animal byproducts. And other than the egg, which is pasture raised and local, that's the only animal protein in there. But you could make them with flaxseed, and make them 100% vegan. You could make them any way you want to make them. So
just make them.
But just there's something very cathartic about making food, whether you're baking or cooking for your family and your friends, and you know you've controlled every piece of the process.
If the process. I mean, you got to think about it. For a lot of people, again, we get back into that sense of creativity and them being able to do it freely, not following ingredients, but being able to kind of just add and go by taste and all that. There's an excitement and enjoy. And remember, we talked about it a couple segments ago where we talked about families kind of cooking together, how important that is, and kind of building those bonds and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. So being able to go in the kitchen and create things. I used to cook a lot, not as much anymore, but just being able to go in the kitchen, you know, nobody's bothering you. And you have the space to be able to create whatever way you want to. I mean, it's great. And if it's nasty, you can throw it away and then say, hey, I didn't make anything, right? Especially if no one's around.
Hey, well, do you guys know what Michelle Obama's favorite vegetable is? Does anybody know?
No.
It's broccoli.
Broccoli. Okay. I knew something like that was coming.
I want to hear your broccoli asparagus.
Oh, yeah.
That one's good.
I was writing jokes for the Veggie Fest, you know, because I had never emceed before or like hosted a stage like that with like live people all staring at me. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, we had a really good crowd. We had more people at our stage than I think most of the other ones. And I think it's because we were having so much fun telling these stupid jokes.
Well, you're fun. You're a fun person to be around. You're a very fun host. So
I can
imagine, like, because of your openness and genuineness that people
I wasn't even drinking either. My plan was to drink a beer so I could really let loose, you know, while I was up on the stage, take a little sip on the side, you know, but loosen myself up. But I didn't do that. But one of the jokes that I came up with, and then one of my best friends said, leave it to you to make something sexual, because I love making sex jokes. Uh-huh. And so do you want to know what the asparagus said to the broccoli?
No.
Can you guess what the asparagus? Let's test your mind. What did the asparagus say to the broccoli, Dewan?
You know what?
Diamond, do you know?
I have no idea.
You don't?
I heard it.
Heard it. Hey, my stem's longer than yours.
My stem's longer than your stem.
Since everybody's mind is in the gutter, you said that the product was called Just Dates, right? They stole a perfectly good name for a dating app. Right.
Just dates, right?
Go out. We're just dates. No, we're
just
not. We're not having sex. We're just going out on a date. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's funny. So do you know what a nosy pepper does?
No.
It gets jowl up in your business. I said it wrong. Jalapeno. I said jello.
What about the boyfriend
what
one?
Let me start over.
No, tell me
you
the
never
boyfriend
heard that.
One.
Okay. What does a nosy pepper do? It gets jowl up in your business. I love cracking myself up. Okay, so why was the carrot nervous?
Why?
Here's another one. Because she was being stalked by the celery. That's why.
She's been stalked
by the celery. I'm losing my audience.
The boyfriend
Stay
one.
With me,
What's
everyone.
What's the joke you have about the cucumber?
Okay. Huh?
What's the joke you have about a cucumber?
Oh, the cucumber. I wrote that one too. So I was just trying to be silly. So what did the cucumber say to the lettuce and the tomatoes?
Hello.
Hey, let's mix it up.
Yeah, I knew that one.
Okay, enough of the silliness. We're going to go to break. I did want to talk about some other stuff, but you know what? We'll talk about it later. All right. Stay tuned, everyone. More coming up. We've got Dewan Bennett. He's going to be talking about ways to counter the effects of an adverse childhood experience. And Sadra Shadel, she is the founder of No Evil Foods. We're going to be talking about making plant-based easy. So we'll be right back. You're listening to One Life Radio. Wash away my sorrow, wash away my shame. Always reminds me of my brother Joe. You ever have songs like that where they always remind you of that one person? And my brother passed away from a drug overdose about 10 years ago. And anyway, not to be Debbie Downer here, but I love how music will just snap you right back into a moment in time and help you to remember people that you love so much.
Like
in your
a time
life.
Machine, right?
Yeah. Yeah, but it's so good to have you in studio, Dewan, and it's so good to have Sadra Shadel on the line. She is the co-founder and the force behind the innovative and creative departments of No Evil Foods. She is a lifelong vegetarian and is committed to spreading the good word about plant-based lifestyle. Before she was leading the conversation on how to create a socially minded business, she was the original do-it-yourselfer at No Evil Foods, developing and testing each recipe from her home kitchen. Their website is noevilfoods.com. I brought my leftovers from last night. It was Meatless Monday, and I make my Italian, their Italian sausage. I fry it in my pan and serve it with my Italian bread. And, you know, it's so good. And it's so good to have you, not in studio, but on the line with us, Sadra. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Bernadette. How's it going?
It's going great. It's great. I feel so healthy. All the good eating I've been doing. After being at the veggie fair, I really do think that for some people, going plant-based can be super tricky. It really can. So, you know, we want to talk today about how we can find some ways to incorporate more vegetables into the diet. And, you know, I wanted to ask you, like, what are some of your favorites?
Well, I think it's tricky mostly in your mind, right? So once you get over that mental hump, it's not that hard, but people get stumped. And I think breakfast is one of those areas that people get really tripped up on. You can go a lot of different ways, and there's a lot more possibilities than I think you think about initially. So, you know, thinking about a traditional breakfast, you've got your granola, you can add in some yogurt. They make some really wonderful plant-based yogurts now, either with an almond or a cashew base that have a really good tang and thickness to them that is very similar to traditional yogurt. Add in some fruit. You can do the avocado toast, which is, you know, so popular right now, nut butter toast. Or you could get a little more fancy, but not complicated. You could do oatmeal and make it a savory oatmeal with some sweet potatoes and some kale. You can add in some of our No Evil Foods chorizo. When I discovered savory oatmeal, it sort of blew my mind wide open. I always thought of oatmeal being that, you know, that warm kind of maple syrup, raisins, cinnamon. But when you think about the savory opportunities in oatmeal, it just opens up breakfast to a whole new realm of possibilities. You could make sweet potato planks with some smashed avocado, and again, great with our chorizo. Potato hash skillets. I love throwing those together for my family. It's kind of a clean out the pantry sort of style. Put in some potatoes, add some beets, throw in some kale, lots of garlic, sprinkle some fennel in there. Add a little smoked paprika. It's a really nice kind of home style skillet. And then I think it's just really easy to add more vegetables to whatever meal you've got, or any opportunity, you know, like if you're snacking. I think my partner, he eats, co-founder at No Evil Foods, he eats a lot of hummus. And he typically eats hummus with like a pretzel or a tortilla chip as the vessel. But you can always sneak in vegetables. So I'm always doing that with my kids. I'm like, here, instead of that pretzel vessel, try this carrot vessel or a cucumber or a pepper. It serves to get the hummus into the mouth mouth, but also, you know, another extra dose of vegetables at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, well, I was thinking a lot of different things. I was thinking about, you know, Thanksgiving's coming up and, you know, this is, I make my mashed potatoes and I put celery root in them. Have you ever done that before?
I haven't for Thanksgiving.
It's so good.
I'm a purist when it comes to that holiday, but celery root I love. And doing celeriac, you know, celery root or celeriac soup is one of my favorite things to do. And I don't, it's a really gnarly vegetable. A lot of people, they see it in the store and they, you know, it, just, it looks gnarly and people don't know, you know, what to do. They're intimidated by it. But it's so creamy and velvety when you roast it or boil it. And yeah, it's very underrated.
Well, I take it, well, you know, you take the gnarly part, you slice that off and then you cube it into little cubes, just like you would mashed potatoes or something to boil. I boil it at the same time with my potatoes and until they're both soft. And then I whip them up, you know, and, you know, before Miyoko's, I would probably have put butter in there or maybe just the juice from the potatoes to make it creamy. White pepper and sea salt. And you have, you know, a great mashed potato that's even healthier because it's got all the celery root in it, which is full of vitamins and minerals. And I have to say, though, you really need to get it organic. Otherwise, you're going to get a lot of pesticides, and especially in the root of any kind of vegetable, right?
Yeah, for sure.
And so, you know, one of the biggest things this time of year, everybody, you know, Avi just said a couple minutes ago, I want to make some vegetarian, you know, or some vegan chili tonight. Do you have any great recipes for that?
Oh, totally. We've got a lot of recipes on our website, noablefoods.com. I am a huge fan of soups and stews and chilies. Anything from like a basic minestrone soup, a pasta fagioli, you probably have a great recipe for that. Even like lentil and spinach soups. But there's a really good rustic potato and cauliflower soup on our website and a couple different chilies actually that have one chili cook-off. So if you want, you know, a really award-winning chili recipe, you can definitely get some at noablefoods.com. But the soups are great because they're low prep. You know, you do all the cutting sort of at once, dump it in the pot, and then you just, like, your hands off.
Oh, yeah.
So it works really well for me. I love doing the crock pot and putting everything in at night and then waking up to the wonderful smells and, you know, from the simmering crock pot the next morning. And then I've got lunch already, and it's just such low input and such nutrient-dense maximum output. So it's a no-brainer for me.
Yeah, I love making soups. I really do, especially pasta fazool. You and I say it differently. I say it like my father used to say it.
Probably say it the correct way. I say it, American. I don't know how to say this way.
But it's so easy. I mean, people will be like, pasta fazool, what is that? It sounds so complicated. All it is basically, you know, tomato sauce, you know, a little bit of salt and pepper, a little bit of sugar, or you can use a replacement sugar with beans, right? Beans and pasta and tomatoes. But it's so comforting and so rich, and it's so easy to make, and it's very cheap to make, and it's a complete protein, and it makes you feel good because it's nice and warm on a cold day, right?
Yeah, I make it so much, and I put some of our Italian sausage in sometimes.
Oh, do you?
Which, you know, the flavors lend itself really nice to that, you know, Italian flavor profile, and it holds up nicely in the soup, and it just adds extra protein and extra texture, and it sort of elevates it. Yeah.
Well, I love Italian sausage, and I absolutely love yours. I mean, you guys nailed it. I was eating it before I even cooked it last night when I was chopping it up to put, you know, in my pan to saute in my avocado oil, and then I incorporate it into my pasta, usually because I don't want to clean so many pans. You know, I try to, like, keep, I'll boil my noodles, then put the sauce in, then put the, you know, the sausage in, the no evil sausage, the Italian stallion, in my thing. But, you know, I never thought about putting it in the pasta fazool because I've been a vegetarian, slash vegan for so many years that we didn't even miss the meat, but that would be excellent in the pasta fazool.
Yeah, it's really good. Or, you know, a traditional caldo verde. It goes in so many different soups. And the chicken's one that I really love in soups and stews as well. Or even going into, you know, more of an Asian profile in curries. I do a lot of curries because they're not only very vegetable forward and rich in flavor, but they're also typically spicy, which you know, if I'm fighting a cold or I'm just needing to be warmed up in some cold weather, I really lean towards spicy, rich, comforting foods. And for me, it's a lot of curries. And so I put our Comrade Cluck No Chicken in so many curries this time of year. And that's a really easy dish to put together as well.
Well, yeah, I'm glad that we're talking about this because I would not have thought of that. But yeah, you just have to get a little creative and think outside the box. Or, you know, like you said earlier, think outside the box. That's funny. No pun intended, right? Because it comes in an eco-friendly box. Tell our listeners about your innovation when it comes to the packaging of your foods.
Yeah. So, I mean, for us, making a great product is a starting point, but we really want to be a responsible company at the same time. So when it came to our packaging, we noticed a lot of our competition and just a lot of other brands in general on the market used a lot of excessive plastic in their packaging that wasn't helping to create a safer product. Mm-hmm. Some plastic is necessary to, you know, make sure that our product is safe, and that's always, you know, foremost in our concerns. But when it's not necessary, we wanted to make every effort to avoid it. So we chose to do a uncoated craft box. It's paperboard that's printed with completely plant-based inks. It can be recycled or composted, even in a home backyard composting system, which is really important because some compostable materials are only available or only able to be processed in a professionally managed compost facility, and most people just don't have access to those. And so where you end up is with a product that can't be recycled and also just doesn't get composted and ends up going to the landfill, even if that wasn't the original intent of the creator of the product. Mm-hmm. And then we wanted to layer that with some really positive messaging. So inside each of our boxes is an infographic about the impact that a single plant-based meal can have from an environmental perspective. So we want people to feel really great about the choice they've made to try No Evil Foods. Even if it's just one meal one day a week, that still has a incredible impact. And if lots of people are all making that same decision, there's going to be kind of a critical mass of change that we're able to impact simply by choosing food in a different way.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I know we wanted to talk about plant-based milks. I love this topic. So what are your favorite kinds, and do you have a home recipe for our listeners?
Yeah, so obviously I drink a lot of plant-based milk. I cook with it more so than I drink it. And it's really easy to make at home. So it's another thing that I think people think is difficult, but really is pretty simple. There's more or less a basic ratio where you take one cup of whatever the milk source is going to be, whether that's almonds or cashews. I like to use oats because you don't have to soak them ahead of time. So one cup of oats in a blender with about 4 cups of water, really blend it up really nice. But when we're talking about oats here, we don't want to overblend it because it can give it kind of like a slimy mouthfeel, and you don't want that in your milk. Hmm. And then you just want to strain out the pulp unless you like textured milk. Most people don't. So you want to strain that out.
No.
And I find that if you use a piece of like an old t-shirt, like a clean but old t-shirt, that helps keep the pulp, just like the right amount of pulp out of the milk, but enough of the flavor into the milk. So it's the perfect balance. You can upcycle your clothing and make plant-based milk at the same time.
Wow.
There's a lot of really great recipes out there. Cashew milk is really easy. Oat milk is really easy. You can sweeten it up with a couple dates if you want to add in just a little bit of sweetness. If you're not using it in cooking or baking, or if you're using it in cooking, not using it in cooking, but you are using it in baking, rather, you might want to add in some cinnamon or some vanilla to give it a little extra mm-hmm. flavor. There's one blogger who has a really wonderful guide for dairy-free milk. It's minimalistbaker.com. If you want to try out your own plant milks at home, that's a great resource to check out.
Yeah, I love talking about this. I do. So let's talk about, you know, plant-based meat alternatives, sources that come from plants, and what that protein can look like. Many people believe that they need to eat meat to get their protein. I was talking to someone at a restaurant the other day. My daughter works at her father's restaurant. One of the managers said to me, "How do you get protein if you're not eating meat?" And I think so many people really don't know. They still don't know.
Yeah, well, so that's the million-dollar question, right?
Right.
There's this really wonderful movie that just came out. It's called The Game Changers. Have you heard of it yet?
Oh, yeah, I've seen it. Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. So it's on Netflix. It's for those of you who haven't seen it. In the movie, the world record holding strong man, they ask him, you know, like, how can you get as strong as an ox without eating any meat? And his answer is, have you ever seen an ox eating meat? If you think about it, most of the largest, the strongest animals on the planet, the elephants, the rhinos, the horses, the gorillas, mm-hmm. what do they eat? They're all herbivores, right? And they can get more than enough protein to build those big muscles and be those fierce animals and maintain that great health from in a plant-based diet. And, you know, the average plant-based diet, person following a plant-based diet not only gets enough protein, but usually they get about 70% more than they need. So there's just this huge misperception in public that's kind of been a systemic messaging from different industries that meat is the center of the plate and that is where you get your protein from, and it's just simply not true. I mean, even think about a baked potato. Most people think that that's kind of like a nutrient void food, right?
Right.
Even your basic baked potato, that's got 8 grams of protein. A cup of quinoa or just 2 tablespoons of peanut butter, that's got 8 grams of protein.
Yeah, and even like
you
were talking about oatmeal. So my Bernie bars that I make, you know, I think it's a half a cup of oatmeal has 6 grams of protein in it.
Yeah, oatmeal is totally super full of protein, really full of fiber, other nutrients, vitamins, even leafy greens, your kale, or, you know, a cruciferous vegetable like broccoli, that's 3 grams of protein. And then, of course, you've got your, you know, the things that people commonly think of, your legumes, your black beans, your kidney beans, your lentils. You know, those are going to give you, you know, 12 to 15 grams of protein a serving, too. And you can keep going even higher than that. You think about, you know, some of the meat alternatives like tempeh and tofu or like what we make at No Evil Foods. Then you just, your protein skyrockets and you're adding 12 to 25 grams a serving to your meal. So there's no shortage of protein in plant-based food. There's just a shortage of mindset of, you know, questioning what we've always been told about where protein comes from and how it's best utilized by our bodies. But we certainly don't need animals to get it.
Yeah, no, I agree. And so what are you making for Thanksgiving for your family?
All right. Bernadette, Thanksgiving is like an ordeal at our house.
I can imagine.
It's a happy ordeal, but it's our holiday. So we go all out. It's an all-day eating affair. We start with this cinnamon roll recipe that my mom has been making for, you know, 100 years. It takes hours to make, multiple rises, like not quick rolls in any case. But we all look forward to them. She only makes them once a year. And then we put out this big snack platter with lots of dips, cheeses from Miyoko's Kitchen is who I like to put on my holiday cheese board.
Me too.
She makes some very, like, kind of higher end festive holiday cheese wheels that works really good for like a cheese plate.
Absolutely.
We put out some different relishes like sweet potato or sweet pickles, sour pickles, pickled beets, green olives, black olives. And then we just snack on that all day. And then when it comes to the main meal, like we're already totally stuffed, but we continue stuffing ourselves anyway.
Like everybody.
We have like 3 different kinds of squash. We do butternut squash. We do rutabaga. We have an apple salad, cranberry sauce. You know, of course, it's from scratch. It's not from cans.
Yep.
We make stuffing in unheard of quantities because it's all of our favorites. And then we usually have, the Pardon, which is a product that we make at No Evil Foods. It's our Thanksgiving centerpiece. It feeds about 6 to 8 people, so we usually have a couple of them. A portion of sales from the Pardon goes to Full Circle Farm Sanctuary. It's a farm animal rescue. And it supports the turkeys at that rescue. So we all enjoy that, feel really good about it, douse it in this golden gravy, which I could just drink up with a spoon. I mean, I could go on and on, but Thanksgiving's it's a thing in our family.
Well, I'm going to ask the question that everybody's thinking, because I kind of heard on the street that maybe you're already sold out of the Pardon Thanksgiving Center, you know, like you call it the centerpiece. It's the meat substitute, if you will. How can we get one? Can we still get one?
You can still get one. It's not sold out.
Okay.
It's a limited. Yeah, it's a limited release. It's a very like laborious, labor of love product. Lots of hands on in the making. So we only make them in limited quantities.
Okay.
There's going to be a couple, you know, most of your listeners in the California, Texas area, probably will be best to find them online at veganessentials.com. If you go there right now, you'll see it might look like it's sold out, but you can actually sign up for a notification for when it goes live on the website, which should be happening any day now. And they will go quick. So
I'll take
sure
five.
Get that notification. Yeah.
For myself and the crew.
A lot of people... A lot of people buy them and then save them for their December holidays or for their New Year celebrations. So you could definitely buy a couple and store them and keep them on hand for whenever you might need something festive.
Well, I was born on Thanksgiving, and my birthday this year is actually on Thanksgiving. And I don't know if that's what made turkey. I've always loved a good turkey dinner, and now I love a good substitute turkey dinner, starting with years and years ago with the tofurkey started a lot of them, a lot of this, right? They were real pioneers.
They really were. I mean, I grew up with the tofurkey, and that was what was available, and they really carved out a place for a change of mindset for this sort of food. They've been around for close to 40 years, I think. They're
what?
A family-owned
really?
Business. Yeah, Tibbet started out selling tempeh and living in a treehouse. Their story is so interesting. And they're very mission focused. They're still privately owned family company, and they're just really good people. So
Wow. Yeah,
whether it's the tofurkey or the pardon or, you know, any other options that are out there, try considering an alternative this year and thinking about how not putting a turkey on your plate could spare the life of a living being somewhere and also help preserve your life in the process.
Sadra, always a pleasure. Love talk. I could talk to you all day long, especially about cooking. It's just one of my favorite things to talk about. And I just really respect you so much. And I want to let our listeners know that before Sadra was changing the world with No Evil Foods, she worked in the employment and training development for nonprofit organizations in the Northeast and the San Francisco Bay Area with a focus on chronically homeless, formerly incarcerated, and dual diagnosis populations. And you've been working hard to change the world for years. And I just want to let you know how much I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Bernadette. Always a pleasure.
All right. You have a good holiday. If I don't talk to you before then, thank you. Thank you
Happy
so much.
Birthday.
All right. Oh,
bye.
Thank you. La, la, la. I'm not getting any older. I don't want to. But I shouldn't have that kind of attitude. I know. I'm working on it. But everyone, stay tuned. We've got more coming up with Dewan Bennett. You're listening to One Life Radio. I love it. I should know the name of this band right off the top of my head, but I don't. I've listened to it a million times. Who is this? Come on, you guys.
I know, because this is my fraternity's theme song. is it Parliament? Parliament? Something
George
like that.
Clinton.
Oh,
George
yeah, yeah, yeah.
George Clinton.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That
no,
is a shame.
I saw him in concert. Duh, Bernadette. Oh,
I'm going to lose my fraternity card, because this is literally our theme song.
Drop. You lost it. All right.
I was trying to let you answer it, but
so crazy. There was just so many great bands back in the day, right? Everyone, you know, I want to let you know that you can go to our website, oneliferadio.com, to download and listen to our podcast or subscribe to our newsletter. And I'm going to put that recipe for my celery root mashed potatoes.
Yeah, you should.
In the newsletter.
I've never even seen a celery root.
Well, I'm going to show you how to make it right in my kitchen, Aviana.
I'm excited.
I'm going to bring it in here for everybody to try. And I want to get one of the No Evil.
The pardon.
Yes, the pardon. Thanksgiving.
Centerpiece
turkey.
Replacement.
Oh my gosh. But yeah, I'm going to put the recipe in our newsletter. So sign up for it. I'm going to put it in next Tuesday, I believe, is when our next one goes out. Also, I want to let you know that you can listen to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify, or you can go right to iHeartMedia.com to listen live or download the free iHeartRadio app and listen to us from anywhere in the world. A big shout out to our sponsors, great companies like Sun Warrior, Enviromedica, No Evil Foods, Crazy Water, Veg World Magazine, Paleo Magazine, The Wellbeing Journal, Thorn Research, their dispensary is on our website at oneliferadio.com/thorn, and of course the International Society of Sports Nutrition. And I just saw this last night, so Enviromedica has a new product made by Ancient Minerals. It's a magnesium lotion. It's called Good Night.
Oh, yeah. They have like different versions of it.
So
too,
here's
right?
the thing. I already use the oil, you know, like the magnesium oil, because it's best absorbed through the derma in order to get the most effects. Okay. And when you get super stressed out, guess what? And you're losing your mind over something, it might be because you're you have a deficiency in magnesium, because magnesium keeps you calm. It is it's essential in over 300 enzymatic functions in the body. It's a very important mineral. Most people walk around deficient in it because you don't get enough in the food that you eat today. So they have it with melatonin now in it. I cannot wait to try it. I'm going to order some this afternoon, and I encourage you to try it, because I know that just the regular one works well, and sleep is so important.
Yes, it is.
It's everything. It is critical. So check it out. Go to enviromedica.com. All right, Dewan Bennett, I love having you in studio. I really do. You really are. Like, you and Vaughn are like my two favorite people. And Jill Lane, of course, and Tina. I'm probably getting myself in trouble right now. I'm digging a hole.
We love everybody.
Why did I do this? Okay, but I really
everyone
do.
Is loved.
You're so easy to talk to. You're so easy to listen to. We hear it all the time. We get emails about it. And so Dewan Bennett is a licensed professional counselor with over 11 years of counseling experience from Vallejo, California. Dewan has two master's degrees, one in counseling and another in psychology. He is the owner of Dewan Bennett Counseling, a private mental health practice here in Dallas. And Dewan believes that the key to mental and behavioral success is the ability to master self-awareness and emotional control. And you can find him on Instagram or Facebook at Dewan Bennett Counseling, or his website, PrestonPlaceCounseling.com. Today, we're talking about ways to counter the effects of adverse childhood experiences. Wow, this is a big subject, and
yes,
I wish we had more time.
I really like this topic.
Okay, so define an adverse childhood experience. Let's do that first. Let's start there.
So when we're talking about adverse childhood experiences, we're talking about potentially traumatic events, right? And so those traumatic events can be determined by some type of abuse, whether it's physical, sexual, or emotional abuse. It can be determined by your parents getting divorced. Some people don't realize how traumatic that is for children. Mm-hmm. It can be determined by bullying events. It also could be determined by natural disasters, right? We had a recent tornado here in the middle of the city, in which you have some kids now, as a result, they don't feel safe anymore. So when we're talking about adverse of childhood experiences, we're talking about these things that happen in our childhood that are adverse of, in a way in which it affects our ability to bounce back. It affects our ability to feel whole again. It gives us a sense of an easiness when we're operating in our environments.
Well, you know, I've talked about this at depth with a very dear friend of mine who's very smart, by the way. And what determines like someone who can bounce back and someone who cannot? Like someone that's just naturally a fighter and it doesn't break their spirit, they take lessons from it, if you will, and move forward and become like very powerful. Then you have people that it can destroy them. Like what determines that?
Do you think children are more resilient than other children? Some?
I believe that for sure, that children are more resilient than others, but I think those environmental factors play a role in it. So if you're thinking about something that is inherently within a person, I think gratitude first. So gratitude, the more grateful that you are for the things that you have in life, it increases your ability to bounce back. But another factor that is really important is your social support. A lot of issues that you have with people who have high ACEs scores. So a high ACE score is essentially a score that looks at your traumatic experiences throughout your life. It asks 10 questions that vary from parents being divorced to being physically harmed to being feeling afraid, etc. Is that they lacked a sense of social support. They lacked those two people outside of their parents who gave them a sense of purpose. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about school teachers. We're talking about principals. We're talking about your village, right? The people around you that are absent from your parents that give you a sense of purpose. So when you have kids who are surrounded by people who love them, who are constantly validating them, who support them, then they have an ability to bounce back, because when something happens, one of the first things that happen when we go through a traumatic experience is how we feel about it, right? How we feel about our role involved in it. Is this my fault? Am I responsible? Why did this happen to me? Well, when you have people to support you, you recognize and understand, hey, I'm not all flawed. Mm-hmm. That's not my fault. I have people that believe in me.
Tremendous amount of difference. I mean, I'm just thinking about, the probably the most traumatic thing in my childhood is my brother. We've talked about this. He had a nervous breakdown.
Yes.
He tried to kill himself. He was taken away by in a straitjacket by the police. This was, over 40 years ago when I was a small child. And, in some ways, I think it made me a better person. And yes, there was trauma associated with it, but I think the hardest part for me, and this is where I'm getting at, is when the next day when I went to get on the bus, that's funny, on the bus, I love making mistakes.
The bus.
I got on the bus. And I was made fun of. I was bullied.
Well, did you say booze? That's probably why.
We're going to be laughing about that all day.
But that plays a role into it, right? That plays a role into your bounce back. If one of the things that I always say, when we go through something that's traumatic, we want to encourage our children to talk about it. Hey, let's talk about it, because we're not putting that stigma associated with it. It's like, hey, I'm shameful because of that. I'm wrong, or something's wrong with me. So let's talk about it. The more your kids are willing to talk about what's going on, the better as a family we can heal it. So if you went through something so traumatic as losing your brother, and then the next day you got on the bus and you were traumatized because you were bullied and made fun of by it, there gives you a sense of shame, right?
Yeah, and no, I always felt like I wasn't good enough or something. Like there was something about my family, because my brother was mentally ill, very mentally ill. You know, we didn't find out till many years later that he had been traumatized himself. He was sexually abused as an altar boy, you know, in the Catholic Church. So, I mean, a lot of times there's very, very good explanations as to why, you know, children become, you know, mentally ill and don't get the help that they need, or maybe never go and talk to someone about it. My parents had no idea. We only found out a couple of years ago.
And one of the problems with having a high ACEs score, so we're talking about something, there's 10 questions, so anything, each answer is 1 point, so anything over a 6, that looks at a 20-year decrease in your life, because what it's saying is you've experienced so much. You've started to drink, you've started to smoke, you've possibly engaged in suicidal behaviors, that now your life is going to be decreased because of autoimmune diseases and other aspects as a result of what you experienced as a child.
Wow, well, we're going to talk more about it. And we'll be right back, everyone. Stay tuned. You're listening to One Life Radio. A healthy gut is imperative for overall well-being, but maintaining a healthy microbiome in today's society isn't easy. We're all overstressed and overtired. Our bodies crave the good bacteria that is so lacking in our overprocessed foods and sterilized environments. We've already heard about the benefits of probiotics, but what if we take it a step further? Enviromedica has done just that with Terra Flora. Terra Flora is a true symbiotic, combining soil-based probiotics and food-based prebiotics. Think of it as probiotics with backup. This combination supports the survival of beneficial microorganisms our bodies crave. If you're overstressed, overtired, and just overall sluggish, listen to your gut. Try Terra Flora Broad Spectrum Symbiotic by Enviromedica. Visit them at enviromedica.com. That's enviromedica.com. Thank you for that, Diamond Gray. That's the old song, Bernadette. She plays it when I make everybody laugh. Welcome back to One Life Radio, everyone. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray, Aviana Barrientos, and I've got DeJuan Bennett in studio with us. He's talking about ways to counter the effects of an adverse childhood and the experiences sometimes that are that can be negative that come along with that. So what are some, or let me say this, what impact does early trauma have on a child? How does that affect them in adulthood?
Well, there's various ways in which it affects them. So a couple things that we want to look at is, how does it affect us physically, right? So how does it affect our physical health? So we're talking about heart disease, we're talking about liver disease, we're talking about diabetes, cancer, strokes, and all other things that result from our childhood experiences. Again, as we talked, a lot of times to mask the pain that we feel, we create habits, right? Whether it's substance abuse related, so we're talking about drinking or smoking, or it's just out risk-taking behavior. So we're going out, we're being sexually promiscuous, we're doing things because we're trying to numb the pain that we feel. And as a result, as we get older, we start to have effects of that. You know, young children are having STDs for years untreated. So think about what that does to your autoimmune system. So that's one of the ways. There's other ways, such as our mental health. Now, we all know depression and anxiety is something, but what about the social aspects? What about our inability to form proper attachments with people? Because we're so afraid of them leaving, or we're so afraid of them hurting us, that now it prevents us from forming those genuine, meaningful relationships. Our fear, one of the biggest fears that you can see a lot of times for somebody who has been hurt, is their inability to want to be vulnerable. Now, remember, mm-hmm. vulnerability is important when forming relationships. When I can be open to you and I can say, hey, Bern, I'm hurt today. I'm sad. I had a long day. I was thinking about my mom. I was thinking about my dad. I was thinking about somebody I love that I lost. That vulnerability allows our relationship to form. But if I'm hurt, I may want to tell you it, but I'm not. You know why? Because I've been hurt in the past when I've been vulnerable. Mm-hmm. So that is some of the things that we typically see how it affects our adult life. But again, we form these unhealthy relationships. We engage in these risk-taking behaviors that prevent us from forming a strong foundation, that social support that we need to be able to overcome these situations.
Oh, you're so good. You're just so good. I know people are enjoying this content. Like I said, we hear it all the time. So what are some positive childhood experiences to counter adverse childhood experiences?
So this is the fun part, right? It's like getting your kids involved in things. So we talked earlier about those two social supports outside of your family. I tell parents all the time how important it is for your kids to identify people that are not their parents as supports, but also being able to take family trips, create memories of fun, right? Mm-hmm. Having your kids involved in activities such as sport activities, things within their church, things within their community. Those things are important, but also putting your children in leadership roles where people are able to look to them as experts and make them feel as if they're important.
I love it. I love it. Thank you so much. Always a pleasure. Dewan Bennett. You can find him at his website, Preston Place Counseling. A hello to all of our listeners in California at KMET. It's Teatless Tuesday. Don't forget, no dairy today, because you get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. Get out there today and be contagiously positive.